Rain News, the leading publication for the online audio industry, has a daily digest that you receive in your email, and we hope you'll subscribe by filling out the form and handing it to one of us today if you're not already subscribed. For years, Rain News founder Kurt Hansen has led the way in encouraging innovative strategies for the online audio industry. Kurt is also, by the way, founder and CEO of AccuRadio, which just announced a first round of funding. Congrats, Kurt.
Yeah.
Here now to update us with his perspective on the future of audio, Kurt Hansen.
And this may be a hoary joke, but when Larry does a 50 over 50, I hope I'll be considered for that, that thing. Thanks for having me. I want to, for those of you who are new, and apparently maybe a quarter of you are new to Rain Summits, I should let you know I traditionally stress out and write this right up until the last second, as I did this year, and I usually fill this full of obscure Star Trek references, which I'm trying to avoid this year, so wish me luck. What I'd like to do is, we do this three or four times a year at each of our Rain Summits. I'd like to talk about where the industry is at the moment and some thoughts on various angles of it on where it's headed. And then love to talk to you more about it throughout the, afterwards. So let's begin. There's clearly a transition going on across all sorts of industries in how media is consumed. And in general, what we see is consumers, what they want is online delivery, because they want it on their mobile device, of a deep variety, personalizable product or experience. We see this in newspapers. The newspaper circulation starting at 70% of the population was reading it daily in the 70s. It's now down to maybe 30% of the population nowadays because they're going for a different type of digital, available on their device, personalizable experience. Magazines, similar thing. Readership of print magazines in the last decade has gone down by a third. Recorded music, I am sure you're familiar with charts like this, that after the glory days of the CD, at around the year 2000, right after Napster was shut down, things started falling off a cliff as people are spending less on music, seemingly less excited about music than they used to be, perhaps as this corresponds with DVDs becoming more popular and video games becoming more popular and so forth. We see it in the world of videos. We see that blockbusters are closed, and Netflix is really where it's at nowadays. We see it in books, that Borders is closed, and we buy a lot of our stuff digitally, either from Amazon.com or even specifically on a Kindle. Leaving the world of media to go to coffee is one of my favorite examples. Here, again, people are looking for a deep variety, personalizable experience, as you get with K-Cups, for example, and Nespresso, and whatever the Starbucks brand of that is. In radio, this is certainly the case. What we're seeing in terms of trends is consumers are increasingly going for online delivery of a product with loads and loads, if not seemingly infinite variety, delivered in a manner that's personalizable. You see it in trends where online radio is growing 15 or 20% a year, and it has been growing at least that rate for a long time. This is Brad's latest chart from the latest monthly release of a Triton Digital Webcast Metrics report. This is charting the last 5 years or so. You can see that Pandora is continuing its climb. I don't know if the numbers were discussed in the previous panel, but they are now selling, have revenues at the annualized rate of about $1 billion a year. Stock price, $5 billion at the moment. Clearly taking off. What we haven't been able to see before and what Triton offered in the last month or two was a chart of all of their clients, not only the top 20 Webcast Metrics clients, but also clients who they may measure, but the client has not given them permission to be in the press release each month. And what you see here is in 2012, the year started with about 1.1 billion hours of radio listening a month, and grew steadily throughout the year. Then the next year began, and maybe not quite as steep a slope. This is the middle of the year is the period where Pandora put a listening cap on their listeners. They had more inventory than they had demand for the avails, so they cut back on, they added listener caps. They took them off in September, and now you can see that perhaps as part of that, the industry is again growing at a 15 or 20% rate per year. To put this in a number you may be more familiar with, 1.8 million hours of listening per month means that the medium has an AQH, average quarter hour audience, of about 3 million right now. The whole radio industry is, AM/FM radio industry is less than 30 million, I believe. So this is I think it's more like 25 million at the moment. So this is a good chunk of all radio listening. Meanwhile, AM/FM listening is declining. It's declining at a much lower rate than online is growing, but it is declining. This chart I've shown at every one of these state of the industry addresses, in that you see a mild decline through the early 2000s. The jump where there's that coral circle is just the switch to people meters. That's not a real change in listening. That's just a change in measurement. And then apparent, as near as we can tell from press releases, continued decline. Whereas online radio, the top green line is a couple thousand person annual study from Arbitron and Edison Research. The bottom green line is the top 20 from Webcast Metrics. So the actual audience is somewhere in between there. But you can see slow but continued decline on the AM/FM side as consumers are moving to a internet-delivered, deep variety, personalizable product. One thing I didn't notice until recently, it just kind of slipped by me because it happened so slowly, is that AM radio seems like it's in its final years. This is some recent ratings from Dallas and Houston, and you can see that you have to get down into 17th place in the rankers before you find an AM radio station. Now, in some markets, there's still a market leader. In some markets, there are a couple of top 10 AMs still. But once an AM loses it, once they lose their morning man or they give up their position in the market, it seems like then they're out of the top 15, top 20, and they don't come back. We'll talk more about this as a possible solution to this issue in a minute. So overall, today, online radio, based on the data, seems to be about 1/6 to 1/5 the size of AM/FM radio in terms of AQH. I say that first from this chart, those two arrows, but I'd also like to introduce a study that Larry will talk more about later this afternoon, his Share of Ear study from a couple months ago, where AM/FM radio had about 52% of people's audio listening time, according to his study, and internet radio, including the on-demand services like Spotify, had about 12%. Of their radio listening time. So I'm going to think radio is about 10% of the radio listening time, online radio. Well, at the rates we're seeing here, that means that online radio's audience will equal AM/FM's audience in 6 to 8 years. When we started doing these RAIN summits in 2000, we figured that would happen someday, but we had no idea when. It now looks like we can name a date when those lines are going to cross. The math I'm using is this, that AM/FM radio's audience, according to that Share of Ear study, is about 14.9 hours per person per week. That is a higher number than Arbitron or Nielsen come up with, but let's use that as a generous number. If that goes down about 6% a year for 8 years, it will be 9 hours a week per person. Similarly, online radio, all the sources we can see say it's at about 2.9 hours per week per average American. If that goes up 15% a year for 8 years, then that's at 9 hours a week. So that's when the lines cross. But that's, as I said here on this slide, that's at current rates. There are things going on that could change the rates of rate of growth on the online radio side. Primarily and most importantly, smartphones and their associated, their big brother, the tablet. They have really become the everything device for consumers, used for so many things, and they're just getting more and more ubiquitous and more important to the consumer every day. Many of you know I was in Japan a couple of weeks ago and trying to find out what the latest thing was over there, and the latest thing is the iPhone 5S. But it's really taking America and the world by storm, the value of this device. As Steve joked or mentioned, there's a press conference right now that Apple will be debuting a couple larger iPhones and maybe a smartwatch. Coming up at their next press conference, it's rumored to be a huge iPad. This is just going to increase the rate at which people want to use their personal device for listening to the radio. Similarly, online radio is rapidly getting into the car. I'm not going to go into great depth on this, but you know it yourself. Go to a car dealer nowadays, and almost every model of every car has some kind of easy access to get radio out of your device and into the speakers of your car. Now, there's an issue that for those of you who work for broadcasting companies, broadcasters, and or for those of you who compete with broadcasters, they're still largely resisting this change. A neat thing about writing the speech at the last moment is I can use quotes from the previous panel. Steve mentioned there's a reticence to jump in that he saw from broadcasters. Well, I've talked before about the book The Innovator's Dilemma and The Innovator's Solution, and what this book, series of books, argues is that for good and rational business reasons, legacy firms tend to not jump into a new medium until it's too late. Now, our industry is a little bit different. Both Clear Channel and Cumulus have significant online radio plays or online digital music plays. But there is, below those two, there does seem, I believe, to be that reticence. That broadcasters, in general, as any legacy firm would prefer to protect their old business model, the one they're used to, the one they're comfortable with, the one they make money off of. So, in a world where consumers want online delivery of a deep variety, personalizable product, we have broadcasters doing things like HD radio, which was a valiant effort. I don't mean to criticize it, but it looks as if it's having problems, that it's being dropped from some car models. It doesn't seem to have great consumer adoption. And I think there's a few reasons for this, and there might be a possible fix. So I'd like to go into that for a second. First, the name is a misnomer. It's not high-definition radio. The HD, because FM radio is great definition. The HD means nothing, according to Ubiquiti. Well, that's not a good starting place when your name doesn't mean what it obviously is supposed to mean. It promoted for a couple of years using an expensive series of on-air promos its secret channels. Well, they're just too secret. Even in a modern car, it is hard to find HD2 and HD3 channels, I believe. The channel numbering system, incredibly unwieldy. If you like a station, try and remember it's at 98.7-HD2. It's not easy. Bob Neal, former president of Cox, realized this, fought for a change in the numbering system, failed, and I think that's now hurting its adoption. And then finally, the secret channels, if you can find them, seem to have generally unmemorable programming. So what I'd like to float by you, and I floated this by some state broadcaster conferences a few years ago and kind of got stomped down, but I'll give it one more try. The non-patented Hanson new audio band one channel, one owner solution to this. Or to use the acronym for that, NAVOO, which, if it sounds familiar, is the planet that Star Wars episodes 1, 2, and 3 were set on. But this is not a Star Trek reference. So I'm honoring my promise. My suggestion is something that might work that I think from what I understand from the Ubiquiti guys, this would be difficult but not impossible, is this. Shuffle the ownership or the rights around so in any given city, one broadcaster has the rights to all the HD2 channels and all the HD3 channels. So give Clear Channel all rights to all the HD2 channels in New York. Give Greater Media rights to all the HD2 channels in Boston, and so forth. Just shuffle them around so everyone's got the same number of stations, but they've got concentration in a selected number of markets. Then, and this would be the toughest one, reprogram the radios so that there's an AM, and there's an FM, and there's an HD. Nice, clear, AM, FM, HD. Maybe could be a software fix on some recent models, I don't know. But without that, I don't see how you drive people to those new channels. Then thirdly, let's say you own all the HD2 programming rights in Milwaukee. You brand that, you pre-program the band, HD band, so it's tuned alphabetically. Alt country, Broadway, classical, disco, and so forth. Then you brand and sell your entire set of channels. So if you own the rights in Milwaukee, you come up with a nice brand name. There's probably 18 or 20 different channels you could offer of this product. on the HD band. They could have low spot load. They could have some local inserts and sweepers and things like that. And I think you could possibly make this work. And then a solution to HD would be if the FCC would let the AM stations that only have a 0.1 share, let them switch to all digital and let them be part of that package. So instead of having 20 stations in Milwaukee, now you've got 21 or 22 or 23 stations as it becomes available. So I don't know if this would work, but I think it might warrant some discussion. Similarly, Next Radio. I love this product, and we're here in Indianapolis. We should talk about it. I bought a HTC One just to do it. I had problems buying it because the salesperson told me that all smartphones get radio. And in a sense, that's true. So the energy behind this, the desire to do this, I understand and admire totally. But it's now being done for a year, so we have to take a look at the results with a dispassionate eye and see how it's doing after a year. They have a great PR person or firm behind this. We get great press releases every 2 weeks on the subject. But let's see what the press release says. The press release says that they've had 725,000 app downloads and to date 870,000 hours of listening. Well, that means the average user uses the app for 80 minutes and then they stop. That's it. Not 80 minutes a week, 80 minutes total. Well, that's not sounding great. It has had 870,000 cumulative hours of listening to date, up 38% in the last month. That means it had 240,000 person hours of listening in the last month. Well, divide by the number of hours in the month, and you see that Next Radio has an AQH of 395 people nationally. So in a market with 1 million people, there's divide that number by the 250 million person of the ratings population, and Next Radio's AQH in your market, if you're in a market that size, is 1.6. Or if you own an FM in that market, it's contributing 0.1 to your AQH. That's not 0.1 of a ratings point, that's 0.1 of a listener. So if we're going to be dispassionate about it and look at it logically and think about chess moves that you got to think, well, I don't know. And I think it's time to warrants maybe reevaluating. Issues, again, are its inaccurate name. It is actually not the next generation of radio beyond satellite and online. It is an easy way to get the previous generation of radio. So the name is the actual opposite of what the benefit is. It's largely a solution. I think the data is showing to two largely non-existent problems. The first one is that it conserves battery power, which apparently consumers don't care about, or if they did, believe me, cell phone providers would make the phones an ounce heavier and have a bigger battery. Or it uses less data. It's been argued that the days of the unlimited data plan are over, and that may be true, but that's kind of disingenuous. The days of the cheap data plan are here to stay, and data is getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. I've done some calculations on listening to a typical online radio station for an hour a day on your smartphone on the data network, ignoring when you're in a Wi-Fi area, and it takes about 0.4 gigs of data per month to do it. Well, Sprint is offering 20, 22, 24, depending on how many lines you have, 26 gigs of data for $100 a month. So 0.4 gigs is meaningless, apparently, to the average consumer. In the case of T-Mobile, music streaming is free. Already, it's these webcasters they're offering for free, and you can see some space on the website. They're going to add more. The idea that this is a solution to your high-cost data plan is something that I think just isn't flying with consumers. And then maybe most importantly, I think people don't want to use their $600 device, which is what a smartphone is, to do the exact same thing a $20 transistor radio could do. They don't want to use it in that way. They want to take advantage of the $600 they spent, and this solution isn't letting them do that. So four quick suggestions on what might work for Next Radio is to rename the product FM radio might be a much better name if you've got a button on your phone. Maybe to play the emergency card. It really would be helpful. Someday there's going to be, in the U.S., there may be a failure of the power grid or a massive superstorm or a zombie invasion or something, and we're going to wish we had FM on our smartphones. It might be a useful card to play to try and use that way to get the FM chip activated. Thirdly, you could take the same approach but switch from smartphones to car dashboards. Still early days there, and a solution might be found. Or find a meaningful benefit. The power and the data plan don't seem to be working, but that's not to say you couldn't find a benefit that would resonate with consumers, and I think that could be tried. So, keeping in mind that consumers, what they're looking for seems to be online delivery in all sorts of media and all sorts of products, online delivery, deep variety, personalizable. There are three great opportunities that still exist online that for you. So if you're a broadcaster or if you're an entrepreneur, you could do a multi-genre brand. Did that slide say four? Four good opportunities. I got one bonus one. First, you could do a multi-genre brand like a Pandora or Slacker or iHeart's personalizable section if you differentiate the position somehow. Go for a different target demo or use a different user interface or own a different attribute or change how it's produced, like Live365 and Radionomy are crowdsourced. That's a production differentiation. That's what we did with AccuRadio. We targeted an old demo. We targeted 35 to 64, and then we couldn't say that effectively marketing-wise, so we positioned it for your workday. It's a unique, differentiated position, and we think it's working reasonably well for us. The second position available is to be a genre specialist, just as consumers like to use a specialist if they like a given genre. So you could, as Folk Alley is doing, out of, I believe that's Cleveland, like Digitally Imported is doing in electronica, like WAMU is doing with bluegrass, own a genre. Be the national or global expert in it. Lots of positions still available. Local. There's still loads of markets that don't have an internet radio product designed for them. Keith from Seneca County Radio is here. That's an example of one. There's others you'll see in the RAIN Internet Radio Awards later today. Or finally, international. There's loads of countries where internet radio is in its early days. We Americans tend to kind of be insular, but there's loads of opportunity if you want to explore that direction. So in summary, those four. Now I'm going to see if I can hit this button. So in conclusion, we have talked about Naboo. We have talked about maybe some ways to reinvigorate Next Radio. We did not talk about, for time reasons, the Shambhala experiment, which I will be happy to write about in a future issue of RAIN. It's regarding royalties. And finally, remembering that it looks like online radio's AQH is going to reach AM/FM's in just a few short years, I would urge you, if you're not doing it, whether you're a broadcaster or an entrepreneur, there's loads of opportunities. If you're doing it, great. Pour it on. If you're not, I encourage you to give it a try because there's lots there. And there you go. And thank you very much. And I look forward to talking to you at break and at practice. Thank you.